thee is that risen Lamb. That'll be the theme and the song of the ages. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Thank God for the good singing, for the preaching we've already heard. It's come time for our final message tonight. I am privileged to introduce Brother Larry Winkler, pastor of the Blue Ridge Baptist Church in Lenoir, North Carolina. I am thankful for this man's ministry. I listened to him preach as a young Christian and as a young preacher in my home church at Poplar Springs. And his preaching had an impact on my life then, and it's having an impact on my life now. Brother Larry, you come on around. Preach to us what God's laid on your heart tonight. You listen to what God has to say to you in this service, and you respond accordingly. Appreciate you, Brother Larry. Amen.
You'll find the scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 15. Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err not, knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, How is he a son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we do bow in your presence. I ask you first of all to forgive me of every sin, every lust, every action, every attitude. Lord, thou said that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I pray that you'll purge me from all iniquity. Thank you, Lord, so much for this day, for the word of God that we've heard, and for each man that has stood before us. And thank you for the message we just heard. Thank you for thy servant, filled with thy spirit, Lord, to preach the word to us. We're grateful for it. Thank you for the wonderful songs that have been sung and for those that have sung them. Thank you, Lord, for this place, for this camp meeting. I thank you for Brother Steve. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue your blessings on him. I pray that you'll give him physical strength for his body, spiritual anointing, and heavenly wisdom as he directs this meeting. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church and others that have carried the burden of this place and this meeting through these years. I pray, Lord, tonight, now that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic power, that the Spirit of God should lift up the name that is above every name. I pray, Lord, that thou be no parade in the flesh. May the Lord Jesus alone receive praise and honor and glory. And when we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has done a work in our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. In these scriptures that I've read tonight, Matthew chapter 22, one day the Pharisees got together and had a conference, took counsel as to how they could entangle our Lord in his talk, hoping to catch him in some error and to literally make a fool out of him in his ministry. And so they came to Jesus and they asked Jesus a question concerning tribute or tax money. They thought that either way Christ answered, they had him trapped. If on the one hand he'd replied to give the money to Caesar, they'd accuse him of being a traitor to Israel. If he had replied and told them to give the money to God, they'd have accused him of being a traitor to Rome and have had him arrested. And so they thought by their question, who should we pay tribute unto, Caesar not, they had him trapped. Jesus asked to see a coin, and he said, whose image, whose superscription is on it? They said, Caesar's. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And so he put them to silence. And then the Sadducees got together and came and asked Jesus a question about the resurrection. They didn't even believe in the resurrection in the first place. And as someone has said, they had a very fitting name, Sadducee, because they did not believe in the resurrection. But they said, Moses told us, commanded us in the law, that if a man married a woman and that man died, that his brother should marry that woman to raise up seed. They said, there's a woman among us who married a man. He died. And so the second brother married her. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth brother. I imagine that a seventh brother that married her must have been awfully concerned. Here's a woman that has already killed six men. Typhoid Mary or Lizzie Borden. And so she married the seventh woman and seventh man, and he died. Now she must have been a rough woman, sure enough, to kill seven men. But they said, tell us therefore, whose wife should she be of the seven in the resurrection? For they all had her. And Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, are the power of God. They're equal to the angels of God in heaven. They neither marry nor give it in marriage. And Jesus said, besides that, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And then the Pharisees came again and sent a lawyer. And the lawyer asked him a question to tempt him and to entangle him in his talk as well. He asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Then after these three different groups had got through asking their questions, Jesus turned to them and asked them a question, saying, whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They answered, the son of David. Jesus said, if I'm David's son, how is it that David in spirit call me Lord? And the Bible says they dared not ask him any more questions. But you notice this question our Lord rather asked. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And that's the question that I want us to answer tonight as briefly as I possibly can. There are many verses, of course, in the Bible that we could use to consider Jesus. The Bible is a revelation of Him from start to finish. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. But both are a revelation of our Lord Jesus, the reality of God's love, the authority of God's throne, the surety of God's promises. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. There's only one Christ who is mighty to save. There are many Christs that have been preached and presented in our day, but there is only one who is mighty to save. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This it is glorious in his apparel, shrouded in the greatness of his strength. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin, death, and hell, and is mighty to save. In the Song of Solomon, when that lover was trying to describe her beloved, after she had described his hair, his head, his chest, his arms, his legs. And finally, when she could not think of one more question or one more description to identify her beloved, she just said, yea, he's altogether lovely. It does not make any difference from what angle you look at him. He is altogether lovely. He is purity without alloy. There is no sin in him. He is God's darling son. God who said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The praise of angels and the glory of heaven. Jesus Christ. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? He is the creative Christ. John 1:3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16-17, for by him were all things created, that in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created by him and for him, and is before all things. Now sometimes you have to look into a microscope to see his creation. Sometimes you have to look into a telescope. But our Lord is the creator of this world, of this universe. He's the one that put the planets in their orbits and makes them move meticulously according to his plan, not 1 second ahead or behind, from the moonlit Mediterranean to the frozen tundra, From the snow-covered Swiss Alps to the sandy beaches of the South Pacific. He created it all. By Him all things were created, and by Him all things consist. What think you of Christ? Whose Son is He? He is the creative Christ. Now, of course, the evolutionists would have you to believe that man evolved from some amoeba out in the pond. I may have said this last year. I'm getting old, Brother Steve. I can remember things I said 60 years ago better than I can 60 minutes ago. But the evolutionists would have us to believe that man just evolved from an amoeba out in the pond. They tell us, for example, the way that our eyeballs were developed, that on that amoeba there were two freckles, two pimples, and through the process of time, being exposed to the sunlight, those freckles developed into eyeballs. I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing those freckles happened to be in the right place, side by side. But if I really believe that, and I had freckles all over me, under heaven, I'd be afraid to get out in the sunshine. I'd be afraid to break out in eyeballs. God created man in His own image, and everything that was created by Him. Someone has said that if Jesus were in this world today, visibly as He was over 2,000 years ago, doing the same ministry, that He would be wanted. He would be wanted by the FDA for turning water into wine without a license. He would be wanted by the EPA for killing fig trees. He would be wanted by the AMA for practicing medicine without a license. He would be wanted by the Department of Health because He asked people to open the graves so He could raise the dead. And He fed 5,000 on the hillside. He would be wanted by the NEA for teaching without a certificate. He would be wanted by OSHA, O-S-H-A, for walking on the water without a life jacket and flying without an airplane. He would be wanted by the SPAC for driving hogs into the sea. He would be wanted because of the National Board of Psychiatrists for giving advice on how to live a guilt-free life. He would be wanted by the group NOW for not choosing a woman apostle. He would be wanted by the Abortion Rights League for saying that whoever harms children, it's better than a millstone be put around their neck. He would be wanted by the Interfaith Movement for condemning all other religions. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. He would be wanted by the zoning department for building mansions without a permit. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Our Lord is Creator. He created everything that is created. And one day He's going to put His order at this hour in order. And everything that is out of order. He is the cradled Christ. As Brother Stacy just reminded us, with God's power on Him, Jesus had glory with God before the world. He came down from the heights of deity down to the depths of humanity. Lord Jesus Christ, who robed Himself with the universe, sandaled His feet with the stars, was wrapped in human flesh in Bethlehem's barn. The only baby ever born who is the same age of His father and eternity older than His mother. All God and all man. Not half man and half God. Just as much God as He was man. Just as much man as He was God. Explain it, I can't, don't have to. But it is so. He was man enough to thirst, but God enough to give a Samaritan woman a drink of water that satisfied her eternal thirst. He was man enough to hunger, but God enough to feed a multitude on the hillside. He was man enough to die, but he was God enough to raise the dead. He was man enough even to have to pay taxes, but was God enough to have a fish deliver a golden coin. He was man enough to sleep, but God enough to step out on the deck of the ship, look the most fierce wind in the face, and say, "Be still." And the winds laid like down like little lambs and licked his feet. Every muscle was divinely swung. Every nerve was divine handwriting. He is God and was God wrapped in the flesh. He's the curative Christ. He went about doing good. He met blind men and gave them their sight. Met dumb men and made them talk. Met crippled men and made them walk. Met outcast women and made them pure. Met lepers and cleansed them. Never faced a critic that he didn't confound. Never met a funeral procession that he didn't break up. You talk about keeping undertakers tore up. When they saw Jesus of Nazareth coming, they said, "Uh-oh, here's the one that makes dead people get out of their casket and walk back home." He's the communicative Christ. No one ever spake like this. As you know, in these days of politicians on and on and on, yakking 24 hours a day, talking about more and more of less and less, and saying nothing and not much of that. We have a book that we can depend on. It is the Word of God. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass away. We live in a day, of course, when there's a lot of talk by men and women. But we have a book that is worthwhile. It's worth listening to. It's worth reading. I wish I hadn't thought of this, but I thought about that young fella. When his dad passed away one day, one of his relatives said to the young man, "What were your pa's last words?" The young man said, "Pa didn't have no last words. Ma was with him till he died." We have a lot of talking going on, but we have one voice that you can depend on. It is the voice of the Son of God. And he speaks through this book. He does work through the Holy Ghost. He's here tonight, exalting him, magnifying him, revealing the things of God, and making the truths of this blessed book precious. The Holy Ghost himself is God. I had the privilege years ago to stand in the home of Sir Walter Scott in the very room where he died. Sir Walter Scott had a large library as long as this tabernacle is wide almost, with walls even higher. So when Sir Walter Scott was dying, he said to his son-in-law, Lockhart, "Bring me the book." His son-in-law said, "What do you mean, bring you the book? There are thousands of books." Sir Walter Scott said, "Young man, there's one book. Bring me the book." And he brought him the blessed Word of God. "This book will do to live by. This book will do to die by." It is the wonderful words of Jesus. Wonderful words of life. Sing them over and over. Wonderful words of life and beauty and duty. No one ever spoke like the Son of God. The Bible is the only book that can give peace and can give assurance in the hours when we come there, when we come to face the end of our life. God's Word. No man ever spake like this. Brother Steve, I visited one of our men several years ago who was dying. As a matter of fact, he'd found out the night before He was in the VA hospital in Durham. And the doctors told him that they had cancer and just a matter of time. And so I went to see him the next day. I dreaded to have to go into his room. He just learned a few hours before that he was dying, maybe within weeks or days. But you know what he said to me? The first thing he said as I walked in the room, "Preacher, I just read where Jesus said, 'I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again.' No one ever spoke like the Son of God. No one can cheer the heart like Jesus." And he cheers the hearts of his people through his word and just through his presence. Sometimes even riding down the road, it's like God just pours out a bucket of liquid love in my soul. And I can't explain it. The circumstances are the same, but the difference is he is there in reality with a manifestation of his presence. But when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. And I know that if I walk with God, by and by, he'll let me top a hill. He's the communicative Christ. He was the criticized Christ. They accused him of receiving and eating with sinners, and thank God he did. They accused him of being born of fornication. They accused him of being a wine bibbler and a glutton. And yet with all their accusations, Peter says, "Who did not sin, when revile not again." And no mistake the Lord Jesus ever made. He never spoke one word he had to retract. He never made a mistake at all. He was never too early. He was never too late. From the moment he opened his eyes in Bethlehem until he closed them on Calvary's Hill, he's challenged the world and still challenges it tonight with the question, "Who convinceth me of sin?" The criticized Christ. Now sometimes people get worried and upset when someone criticizes them and spend all their time trying to track down a lie and get it straightened out. But if you ever do catch that lie, what good is it? You can't eat it. You can't make a pet out of it. You've wasted your time for nothing. But the wise thing is just to walk on with God. He will vindicate you. Our Lord was the criticized Christ without sin. He was the crucified Christ. Luke 23:33. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors on the right and one on the left. None of us can imagine what it meant to be have been crucified 2,000 years ago by the Romans, one of the most cruel inventions ever invented. Two things were involved: great shame and great suffering. The victim was beaten mercilessly, forced to carry the cross to the place of execution. Then came the act of the lifting up, when that cross was placed in a hole that had been previously dug. And as that hole fell down in the cross fell down in the hole, the entire weight of the body had to be sustained by nail-pierced hands. And sometimes it took hours or even days for the victim to die. That was the death our Lord chose up by, it is by eternal design. Because as a son, he learned obedience and became the author of eternal salvation. To them that believe, he suffered for us. He died for us. And as he hung on the cross, it was as if God pulled the curtain of heaven down. And for 3 hours, there was darkness while Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. He is the and was the coffin Christ. And Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. There did come the dread day when the sun went down at noonday on a blood-soaked hill. The smug elders, whose hypocrisy he'd condemned, looked at our Lord and said, "He's dead." The one that the disciples looked at him, the one they thought to see on the throne, was on the cross. And they buried him in a barred tomb. After all, he wouldn't need it but 3 days and three nights. I do not know who it was that took the sacred body of our Redeemer from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, of course, prepared his body. But I'm sure with tender, loving hands, they lifted the body of our great Redeemer from the cross. And that cross was the last time wicked hands would ever touch him. They'll never smite his face again. They'll never spit upon him again. He will never be buffeted by a cruel world. And so, after it came down from the cross, it was the last time wicked hands would ever touch him. And I know with tender, loving hands, they carried the body of the Redeemer and laid him in a barred tomb. The Pharisees went to Pilate and said, "Seal that tomb. We heard this deceiver say, 'After 3 days I'll rise again.' Seal his tomb, lest the disciples steal his body and say to the people that he's arisen from the dead in the last era, be even worse than the first." His tomb was sealed. I imagine Mr. the Devil sends Mr. Corruption to the tomb of our Lord with instructions to corrupt, putrefy, decay, rot the body of Jesus. But it wasn't working. And I imagine on the third morning, the corruption come to Mr. Devil and saying, "I've been over there 3 days and three nights trying to corrupt his body, trying to putrefy his body. I never seen nothing like it. I can't even get my ugly head in to breathe my foul, putrid breath on him. Every time I stick my head in that tomb, I get a whiff of the rose of Sharon. I smell the lid of the valley so strong, I have to back out. I think he's about to come out." And sure enough, he arose and stood up and waved the keys of death and hell and said, "I'm he that's dead, was dead, and I'm alive again." He is the coming Christ. And what the Bible magnifies, we must never minimize. The Lord Jesus will come to this earth again. Our Lord, who precedes all others in his priority, who exceeds all others in his finality, who succeeds all others in his superiority, Christ Jesus, our Lord, shall come again. The same Christ that walked by the blue sea of Galilee will come in the clouds for his church. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? His name is like honey to the taste. His name is like harmony to the ear, health to the soul. He's a jewel from glory land. He's a pearl from paradise. He's life's choicest theme. He's a rose among the thorns. His purity, white purity's whitest peaks. He's higher than the heavens. He's the thrice holy God. In his birth, he is our spotless, or in his life is our spotless example, and in his cross is our eternal redemption, and in his return is the consummation of all our holy longings, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What think you of Christ? We call the roll of the world's workers tonight. It does not matter if you drive a Cadillac or push an apple cart. It does not matter if you live up on the boulevard or out in the backwoods. Every person must answer this question. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Are you an artist? He's the one altogether lovely. Are you an architect? He's the chief cornerstone. Are you an astronomer? He's the son of righteousness. Are you a baker? He's the bread of life. Are you a builder? He's a sure foundation. Are you a biologist? He is the life. Are you a banker? He's the hidden treasure. Are you a botanist? He's the rose of Sharon. A carpenter, he's the door. A doctor, he's the great physician. An educator, he's a great teacher. Farmer, he's the Lord of the harvest. Are you a geologist? He's the rock of ages. Are you a jeweler? He purchased a pearl of great price. Are you a judge? He's the true and the righteous judge. Are you a lawyer? He's the advocate. Are you a philosopher? He's the wisdom of God. Are you a preacher? He's the word of God. Are you a realtor? He's the land that is fairer than day. Are you a student? He's truth. Are you a sinner? He's the Lamb of God. Are you a theologian? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Ask some of the great hymn writers, what think you of Christ? Ask old John Newton, who described himself as a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa. John Newton, before he was saved, used to boast that he could curse 2 hours without ever using the same curse word. But God saved him a grace. Mr. Newton, what think you of Christ? Hear him say amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Ask Charles Wesley. And hear Charles Wesley say, and can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Ask old William Capper. What think you of Christ? And hear him say, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Ask Miss Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer. And hear her say, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. But ask her the second time, for in February of 1915, she went up to bask in the presence of the Lamb of God in Emmanuel's land. And we ask Miss Crosby now from the rims of glory, echoes from glory land, what think you of Christ? And here say, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love overshadowed. I'm grateful for that hope that I'm going to see Jesus Christ. Yeah. It won't be nearly as long as it has been. Brother Stephen was talking about Brother Devon Dyson, that great man of God and one of my precious friends. I know that even now he's rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. And there are multitudes of people out of this meeting, out of the churches, they're already with the Lord. And I know that someday I'm going to see him face to face. Amen. You think about that. This old sinner, saved by grace, shall look upon him while the ages roll. Christ Jesus, who loved me, who died for me. I'm not a dreamer. I'm a Bible believer. Face to face in all his glory, I shall behold him. We asked tonight the question, what think you of Christ? His name shall be called Wonderful. There's none like him. There's none above him. He's Adam, the second Adam, the advocate, the anointed, the author, the beginning, the begotten, the beloved, the bridegroom, the bright in the morning star, the brightness of the Father's glory, the captain of our salvation, our consolation, the chief cornerstone. He is the counselor. He's the daysman deliverer, day spring, day star. He is the door. He is the end sign, the everlasting Father. He is Emmanuel. He is the finish of our faith, forerunner free. And he's the first fruits of the resurrection. He's God. He's the gift of God. He's the guide. He's the glorious Lord. He's our help. He's our horn. He's the heir of salvation. He is our I am the inheritance, the image of God's presence, immortal, invisible. He is Judah, Judge, Jesus, King of Israel, King of glory. He's the light, lily. He's the lion. He's the living stone. He's the messenger. He's the mediator, the master, the Messiah, the mighty God, the offspring of David, the Omega, the priest, the prophet, the Passover, the propitiation, our righteousness, Rabbi, ransom, rest, root of Jesse. He is the stone, the shepherd, the Son of God, Son of Man, shield, sword, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. He's the witness. He's the word. He's the zeal of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is wonderful, and every tongue shall acknowledge it. There was a dear saintly mother dying one night. And as their daughter sat by her dying bedside, one of the girls heard her mother whisper the word, bring. One of the daughters brought a glass of water. She shook her head, no. Her mother whispered again. Their mother whispered the word again, bring. Another girl brought her the baby, but she shook her head no. And one of those daughters put their ears down close to their dying mother's lips and heard her say, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Jesus, sweetest song known in Sarah's song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, Jesus, holding with yonder sacred throng. When his feet may fall, we'll join in the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Brother Steve, if it's all right, could Brother Jordan come and play that hymn and the pianist also? Let's stand together. All hail the power of Jesus' name. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Brother Steve.